We're on Tes Vav Amid Aleph, 11 lines down at the beginning of the line where it says, Ba'minei Rabbi Yochanan Merebi Yanai. Where yesterday concluded with a discussion about the dates of the Rosh Hashanah for the Esrog fruit, where it floated the theory that perhaps the Esrog is likened to the vegetable in this regard, and thus its Rosh Hashanah would be the first of Tishrei. The Gemara had concluded that no, the Rosh Hashanah for the Esrog is like the Rosh Hashanah for any other fruit, and that's observed in Shavat, either the 1st of Shavat according to Beis Shammai, the 15th of Shavat according to Beis Hillel. The beginning of today's daf continues on this subject. Ba'minei Rabbi Yochanan be Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yochanan asked Rabbi Yanai, Esrog Rosh Hashanah shelo emasai. When is the Rosh Hashanah for the Esrog? Do we do that in Tishrei or Shvat? Amr lei Shvat. Rabbi Yanai answered that the Esrog is like other fruits, and so its Rosh Hashanah is in Shvat. Yochanan asked a follow-up question. When you say that it's in Shvat, do you mean that in the conventional sense of Shvat HaChadashim, that we observe the Rosh Hashanah sometime in the lunar month of Shvat? Oh, Shvat HaTekufa. What do you mean? The Rosh Hashanah for the Esrog and all other trees is in the solar Shvat, meaning we would be in the Tekufa system, which is purely solar, is independent of the lunar cycle. And Rashi elaborates that we have what's called the Tekufa of Teves at approximately the winter solstice. Count 30 days from there, and that is Shvat of Tekufa. For you could argue that since the whole reason why we set up a different Rosh Hashanah for the trees is the fact that come Shvat, most of the rainy days have passed, and so the water that's needed to produce the fruit has only been received by that point, well then, arguably, the date should be set purely based on the solar cycle, rather than the month of Shvat, which is married to the lunar cycle, and thus where exactly Shvat falls out in terms of the solar cycle is going to shift each year, so that you could have a situation where not as many of the rainy days have passed. So maybe the date should be purely tied to the solar cycle. Normally, Rabbi Yanai says, no, the Chadashim. When we talk about Rosh Hashanah of the Ilanos being in Shvat, we mean the regular Shvat of the lunar cycle. Of course, here, generally speaking, the dates in the Jewish calendar are established on one of the lunar months. The Rosh Hashanah for the Ilanos is no different in that regard. We're asking another question on this subject. Some say that this too was asked by Rabbi Yochanan of Rabbi Yanai. Yes, Haisa Shana Mu'uberes Mao. All right, let's say it's a leap year. So that, of course, means we're going to add a second Adar. Then why do we occasionally institute a leap year? Well, because if we wouldn't do that, the Jewish year would fall further and further out of sync with the lunar cycle, with the result that we would end up having Pesach in the winter and Hanukkah in the summer. The Torah ties, for example, the Chag of Pesach to the Aviv, to the spring. And so that establishes that we have to do something. We have to institute a leap year to keep our calendar tied to the solar cycle. Now, by the time we have decided to make a leap year, the lunar cycle will be, so to speak, substantially ahead of the solar cycle, such that the things that we see in nature, the seasons, will be occurring later on the Jewish calendar. And particularly, the plants will be blossoming later. So the question is, being that we said yesterday, the logic of making a later Rosh Hashanah for the trees is the fact that we want to wait for them to get most of their rain, most of the rainy days to go by. Maybe in the case of a year where we're making it a leap year, it would make sense to postpone the Rosh Hashanah for the trees. But Amr lei, he answered, no halachacha rov shanim. We do the same thing we do in most years and stick with the same Rosh Hashanah in Shvat of the Jewish calendar. We're now continues the topic we began to discuss yesterday of an Esrog, which began to emerge from the bud in one year, but was not picked until a subsequent year. Amar Rabba. Rabba said, Esrog bas shishas shenichnas ala shviyas. An Esrog emerged from the bud in year 6 of the Shemitah cycle, that it entered the 7th year, meaning it wasn't picked until the 7th year of Shemitah. The halach is, Petura min hamaiser. This Esrog is exempt from the tithing obligations. We'll discuss why. Upitura min habior. The esrog will be exempt from the obligation of bior, which is an obligation that applies to produce of the Shemitah year. The Torah essentially says that when the supply of a given crop during the Shemitah year runs out in the field, it's not available for the animals, then the person must remove that type of produce from his house, or as some opinions say, even destroy that. Rabbi is saying that Shemitah obligation doesn't apply to the esrog under discussion, since it didn't emerge on the tree during the Shemitah year. It emerged in the previous year. So Rabbi apparently sides with the view that it is the emergence of the esrog on the tree that is determinative. At that point we say, okay, the esrog is assigned to that year. Okay, therefore this is not an esrog of the Shemitah year, so the mitzvah of Bior doesn't apply to it. But again, we'll have to explain why Rabbah exempts the esrog from the tithing obligation. Seemingly, it should not be exempt. If he's saying it's considered a sixth-year esrog, then it should be subject to the standard tithing obligations, which of course apply during the sixth year. Rabbah continues in Bas Shvias Shenichnasa LaShminis. You have an esrog that emerged on the tree during the Shemitah year, but was not picked off the tree until the eighth year. The halacha is petura b'maiser. It's exempt from the tithing obligation, so that makes sense, because applying Rabbi's opinion here, that we go by when it emerged on the tree, it's therefore deemed a Shemitah esrog. And of course, produce of the Shemitah year is not subject to the tithing obligations. And it also follows v'chayeves b'bir, that this esrog will be subject to the mitzvah of bir, being that it is a produce of the Shemitah year. One of seeks to understand Rava's rulings. The question is how all of these rulings could be true at the same time. And in particular, how do we understand how in Rava's first case, an esrog that emerged on the tree in year 6 was picked during year 7 during Shemitah, that esrog is exempt from the tithing obligations? That ruling certainly doesn't appear to make any sense if, in Rabbah's opinion, the emergence of the fruit on the tree is determinative. For once again, we would then be dealing with the produce of a non-Shemitah year, so why shouldn't that be tied? So maybe we could say that Rabbah isn't quite sure what is determinative. Is it the emergence on the tree, or is it the time when the fruit is picked off the tree? And indeed, Rabbah's second pair of rulings would be consistent with such a position, as the Gemara explains. Amar Leih Abaye. Abayas Rabbah Bishlama Seifa L'chumra. The second ruling that Rabbah states, that an esrog that emerged on the tree in year 7 and was picked off the tree in year 8, that once again, that's exempt from the tithing obligations, but yes, subject to the Shemitah restrictions, including the mitzvah of Bior. Maybe you'll object and you'll say, one second, if we're now suggesting that Rabbah is uncertain about what's determinative, that maybe it's the time when it's picked off the tree that determines the halacha. If so, this esrog would be deemed a produce of a non-Shemitah year. So why does Rabbi say in this case that it's not subject to the tithing obligations? The answer to that is, and because there's a possibility in this proposal, that we go by the time that the esrog emerges on the tree, that means that we must be stringent and say, okay, well, maybe it is Shemitah produce, and therefore it is subject to the mitzvah of bir. Essentially, that says you have to leave it as ownerless. Since in practice, you're going to have to leave the esrog as ownerless in case it is deemed the Shemitah produce, it consequently will be exempt from any tithing obligation, because the tithing obligations do not apply to ownerless produce. So saying that Rabbah is uncertain about what is determinative would be consistent with the second pair of rulings. Ella Reisha, but when we look at the first pair of rulings, we run into a problem. We realize that Rabbah could not have meant any such thing. He can't be uncertain about what we go by in terms of assigning the esrog to the year of the Shemitah cycle. For Petura min habir amai, how will you explain Rabbah's ruling that this esrog is exempt from the Shemitah restrictions, like the mitzvah of bir? That can only mean that Rinan Zil Basr Chanata. The only way to explain such an exemption is by saying that, in Rava's opinion, it is the emergence of the fruit on the tree that is determinative. Not, you know, maybe that's determinative. It has to definitely go by that. For otherwise, how could you be lenient when there's a possibly a biblical obligation to leave that out in the field? And then that leads to the question, Yihachi tichai b'maiser. You know, once it's inescapable that Rava's position is that it is the emergence of the fruit on the tree that is determinative, well then why does Rava say that you don't have to tie the esrog? What do you mean it's not orless? He doesn't have to leave it outside, and it does not belong to the Shemitah year, so you should have to tithe it. So how does this ruling you're saying make sense, Abayas Rava? Amr le. Rava replied, Yad hakol mimashmashin ba va'at amr tichayev b'maiser. Everybody's hands, the people going through the field, are all over this esrog, and in the practical sense, it's treated as ownerless, just like all of the other crops in the field in the Shemitah year. And you want to say that it should have a miser obligation? But as Rava argues, that although there's no halachic reason to deem this esrog as ownerless, because it doesn't actually belong to the Shemitah year, since people treat it as Shemitah produce, they're not going to distinguish. They just go in the field and have their hands all over their produce, including the esrogim, because it's Shemitah. Consequently, this esrog is deemed ownerless, and it therefore is not subject to any tithing obligation. The one that brings an opinion which disagrees with Rabba, Rav Hamanuna Amar, says, Bas shishas shenichneses lashvias, this case where the esrog emerged on the tree in year 6, it was picked in year 7, la'olam shishas is considered the produce of the 6th year in every respect, even regarding the tithing issue. The person need not tithe it. Rav Muna does not agree with Rabba's argument that since people practically have their hands on it, that it's deemed ownerless. You know, they do that without the owner's permission, then they're stealing from him. But the esrog still actually belongs to him, therefore it must be tithed. And Rav Muna continues about shvius and ichneses lashminis leolam shvius. Just like Rabba said, if the esrog emerged on the tree in year 7, the Shemitah year, and was picked in year 8, well then in every respect it is treated as Shemitah produce, and so the mitzvah beer applies to it, but the tithing obligations do not apply to it. And this part is the same as what Rava said. We're asked a question of both opinions, meisvei from the following brisa. Brisa says, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon, the halacha is esrog bas shishas shenichneses lashvias. This was the first case that Rabbi Rav Hamnuna spoke about. And the esrog emerged on the tree in year 6 and was picked in year 7 of the Shemitah year. What is its status? He says, Petura min ha-maiser u-petura min ha-biur. It's exempt from both the tithing obligations and the mitzvah of biur. So this, of course, is exactly as Rabbah stated, but it's against Rav Hamnuna. And he explains, She'in lecha davar shechayev b'maiser l'imkein gadol b'chiev v'nilkat b'chiev. The tithing obligation only applies to produce which remained in a state that makes it subject to the tithing obligation, all the way through the picking of the produce. In other words, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Mishum Rabbi Shimon, agrees with Rabba's argument that since, practically speaking, everybody's going to have their hands on the esrog once it's more grown in the Shemitah year, well, and that in reality deems it as ownerless, and it therefore becomes exempt from any tithing obligation. And he continues, Ubas shviyas shenichneses lashminis. He now discusses the second case that Rabbi and Rav Hamnuna spoke about. The esrog emerged on the tree in year 7, and was picked in year 8. He says, this one, petura min ha-maiser u-petura min ha-biur, is also exempt from both things. You need not tithe it, nor does the mitzvah of biur apply to it. Now, the tithing exemption is obvious. That is simply because, you know, Rabbi Shimon Yehuda agrees with what has been stated so far, that it is the emergence on the tree that is determinative. Okay, so it's Shemitah produce, so of course the tithing obligation doesn't apply to it. But he says, nor does the biur obligation. And that, of course, is against both Rav Hamnuna and Rabba, who had agreed that in this case, the biur obligation, the restrictions of Shemitah, do apply to him because it's the produce of Shemitah. So why does Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda say otherwise? He explains, "She'ein lecha davar shechayev bebiyur limkein gadol bashvias v'nilkat bashvias." So he uses similar language to the argument that he made in the earlier case, that essentially, from beginning to end, from emergence on the tree through the picking of the produce, we must, you know, keep on revisiting the question of when the Torah said that there's this thing, this mitzvah of beer, does it apply to this produce? And Rabbi Shimon Yehuda says, in our case, the answer is no, because Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda's understanding of the pasuk is that this concept of beer can only apply during the actual seventh year. So now that we are in the following year, the year after Shemitah, the mitzvah beer doesn't apply anymore, notwithstanding the fact that, yes, this esrog is a product of the Shemitah year. The Gemara now articulates the problems. First of all, Reisha Kasha Rav Hamnuna. The first part of Rabbi Shimon's teaching is a problem for Rav Hamnuna. For unlike Rav Hamnuna, Rabbi Shimon here says that the esrog from year 6 to 7 is exempt from the tithing obligation. So again, that's like Rabba against Rav Hamnuna. And Seifa, the statement in the later part, that esrog from year 7 to 8 is exempt from the Biur Mitzvah, is Kasha, Bein the Rabba, Bein the Rav Hamnuna, is against both of these Amorayim. They both stated that, no, the Mitzvah Biur does apply to such an esrog. The Gemara answers, Tanoihi. Even though, yes, you found a Tana that is not in agreement with these Amorayim, there are other opinions among the Tanoim, and Rabba and Rav Hamnuna will simply rely on those other opinions. The Tanya, we find other views in the following Braisa. Braisa says, Amar Rabbi Yossi of Tulmus, Heyed Mishum Chamisha Zekenim. Of Tulmus testified the following, the name of five Zekenim, that Esrog Acher Lekitoso Lemaiser. The halacha is, in the case of an Esrog, we go by when that Esrog was picked, when it's a question of which tithing obligation applies, in which year is it assigned to in terms of the Shemitah cycle, in which, as we have seen, depending on which year in the cycle you're in, different tithing obligations apply. However, Rabbi Seinu Nimnu Be'usha V'Armu, the Chamim in Usha took a vote and ruled, Acher L'kitaso Bein L'maiser Bein L'shvias. We go by when the esrog is picked, both with respect to the tithing question and with respect to the Shemitah question. Now, the Gemara right away points out that the flow of this seems off, seems strange. For Shavias Mandikar Shemei, whoever mentioned anything about the Shemitah question that would prompt the Rabbi Seinu of Usha to weigh in on that matter, it wasn't mentioned by the previous opinion. So they don't seem to be talking to each other in this dialogue. Turning to Amud Beis, the Gemara answers, Chasure Mechsera. There's some words missing from the Braisa of Hachi Ketani. Here is the complete text of the Braisa. The Braisa begins, the first opinion says, Esrog Acher Lekitaso Lemaiser. Again, of Thomas, the name of the five elders, testified that when it comes to an Esrog, we go by the time that's picked when it comes to deciding what year it's in with respect to the tithing obligation. Now we have to add the words, Ve'acher Chanata Leshvias. With respect to whether this esrog is a part of the Shemitah or not, we go by when the esrog emerged on the tree, when first it came from the bud. So that was the opinion reported by Avtomas. However, Rabbi Seinu Nimnu B'Usha, the Bachetz V'Gamru, the Rabbi of Usha voted and concluded that no, Acher L'Kitaso Bein L'Maiser Bein L'Shvias, that we go by when the esrog is picked, both with regards to determining what tithing year it is, and with regards to the question of whether this esrog is part of the Shemitah year. So this kind of absolute type of statement implies that if we had our case of an esrog that emerged on the tree in year 7 during Shemitah year, but was picked the following year in year 8, the year in which it emerged would be completely determinative, and so the esrog would be completely deemed as Shemitah produce, and therefore it obviously is exempt from the tithing obligation, and the mitzvah of the beer will apply to it. And so Rabbi and Rav Hamnuna rely on this opinion of the Rav Seinu of Usha. Where it continues with some other statements on the topic. Itmar was stated, Rabbi Yochanan v'Rish Lakish Amri Tarvayu. Rabbi Yochanan v'Rish Lakish both said the following. Esrog bas shishas shenichnasala shvias. Esrog that emerged on the tree in year 6 and was picked in year 7, the Shemitah year, li olam shishas. It's completely judged as an esrog of the 6th year, and thus the mitzvah of biyur does not apply to it, and the mitzvah to tithe does apply to it. So they apparently agree with Rav Hamnuna on that issue. And more on this, Kiyosa Ravin Amar Rabbi Yochanan. When Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he reported from Rabbi Yochanan that Esrog bas shishas shenichnasa lashvias. Halach in the case of such an Esrog is, afilu kazayas venasis kikar, even if, as of year 6, it was very tiny, just the size of an olive, and grew to the size of a loaf of bread in the 7th year, so most of its growth was in the Shemitah year, nevertheless, chayav in alei mishum tevel. It will still have a tithing obligation, because all we need to know is, when did it emerge on the tree? The answer is, in year 6, okay. So it's completely considered produce of a non-Shemitah year, therefore, the tithing obligation applies. Or continues with the Braisa Tana Rabbanan, the Rabbanan Tane Braisa, says, Ilan Shechantu Peirosav Kodem Tebeshvat. We have a fruit tree whose fruits emerged before the Rosh Hashanah for trees, before the 15th of Shvat, Mis Aser L'Shana Shavra. Well, then it's assigned to that previous year in terms of which tithes apply. And Acher Tu B'Shvat, any fruits that emerged after the 15th of Shvat, Mis Aser L'Shana Ba, those fruits will belong to that following year. And so if, let's say, that's year 3, we will do Meiser Ani as opposed to Meiser Sheni. So says the first opinion. However, Amar Rabbi Nechemya B'med V'Mamurim Nechemya says that with regards to what kind of tree does this halach apply, we say it depends solely on when the fruits emerged. Only Be'ilan She'osah Shtei Brechos B'Shana, a tree that produces 2 broods in a year. The Gemara immediately questions this language, Shtei Brechos HaGadaitach. What do we make of this, 2 broods? That word is used in reference to birds. You say birds make, you know, broods. It's the word we use for the bird's offspring. How is that word applicable to trees? The Gemara explains, it's just a borrowed kind of language. You have trees that, in a sense, have 2 broods, in the sense that, in the case, for example, of a fig tree, the figs don't all become ripe at the same time. Some ripen earlier, some later. Okay, so now we know what Nechemya means by that language. The one now proceeds to quote the rest of Rabbi Nechemya's statement. He continues, Aval ilana osa brecha achas. But in the case of a different type of tree, which, so to speak, only makes 1 brood, meaning all of the fruit ripen at about the same time, could go into kalim, vizesim, macharuvim, like date palms, olive trees, or carob trees. Regarding those trees, the halacha is afal pi shechantu persin kodem tu b'shvat misasr in the shana ba. Even if the fruit emerged before the 15th of Shvat, it would not be determinative. Rather, we would say that it goes by whenever they're picked. If they are picked off the tree after tu b'shvat, then they're assigned to that year. So Nechemya is saying that really is the factor that we would ideally want to use. We simply say, when was the fruit picked? That will determine which year it's assigned to. However, in the case of something like a fig tree, where you don't pick the fruits all at once, you have to do it in stages because it ripens in stages, well, then that could create problems. You know, what if you pick some before Tu B'Shvat, some after? That gets complicated. You're not going to be able to combine them for tithing purposes. Therefore, in the case of such trees, the Rabbanan said that it is the emergence of the fruit on the tree once it comes out of the bud. At that point, it's assigned to whatever year we are in. And Amara weighs in on this. Amar Rabbi Yochanan said, Nagu ha'am macharuvin k'Rabbi Nechemya. The people have adopted the custom of following Rabbi Nechemya's view that would apply to something like carobs. The Tosa says it doesn't mean specifically carobs. Rabbi Yochanan is saying that the people conduct themselves in accordance with Rabbi Nechemya, which means that in the case of something like a carob tree, how do we determine which Meiser year it's assigned to? Simply based on when the fruit is picked. Rabbi Yochanan challenged Rabbi Yochanan from the following Mishnah from Masechet Shvias. The Mishnah there states, Benos Shuach, regarding white figs, The point is that these figs do all ripen at once, and they're the equivalent of a carob tree. The Mishnah rules, Shavias Shalahen Shnia. The Shemitah restrictions apply to these white figs in the second year of the Shemitah cycle. Why? Because it takes them 3 years to grow. Which means if we're looking at fully grown white figs in year two of the Shemitah cycle, we're looking at figs which emerged on the tree during Shemitah. Therefore, they're subject to the Shemitah prohibitions. Clearly, this ruling presumes that it is the event of the fruit first emerging on the tree that is determinative. And that's it. Even though these white figs all ripen at once, they don't ripen in stages. So why does Rabbi Yochanan suggest that the consensus is in accordance with Rabbi Nechemiah? Look, this Mishnah is saying the opposite of Rabbi Nechemiah. We don't make any such distinction, even, again, when the fruits all ripen at once. We still go by when the fruit emerged from the bud. Where it says, Ishtik Rabbi Yochanan was silent in the face of Reish Lakish's question. Mara wonders why he apparently had no answer to Reish Lakish's question. Omerli Rabbi Abba HaKohen, Rabbi Yossi HaKohen, Amai Ishtik. Why is Rabbi Yochanan silent? Lamele should have answered, Amina lachana Rabbi Nechemiah ve'at amart li Rabbanan. Why couldn't Rabbi Yochanan just answer that I was reporting that the people conducted themselves in accordance with Rabbi Nechemiah? That statement doesn't deny that there is a different opinion. It's clear from the Brice itself that there's a Tanakhama, there's a Rabbanan who dispute Rabbi Nechemiah. And so we could simply say that the Mishnah there in Shvias follows that opinion. So why did Rabbi Yochanan say that in response to Reish Lakish's question? The Gemara answers, Mishum da Amar Lei, because Reish Lakish would have replied, that's not an answer. Shavak to Rabbanu v'avadet k'Rabbi Nechemiah. How would it make sense to suggest that the consensus is in accordance with this minority opinion of Rabbi Nechemiah against the majority opinion of the Rabbanan, whose view is corroborated by the anonymous Mishnah in Shavias? But the Gemara persists, V'lei Malei, still why couldn't Rabbi Yochanan have answered that I wasn't personally endorsing this position against the majority position? No, Ka'amina Lach Noguvat Amr Li Sura. I was just reporting how the people conduct themselves. And you want to refute me by arguing that no, it's prohibited to conduct oneself that way because the majority opinion disagrees? That's not a question. Perhaps you're right that this was not the correct course of action, but that's not how the people acted. But no, the Gemara explains the Amr Lei, Makam Yisura Kinogu Shafkinan Lehu. It's with the mandation for the Maseres Hashas. It wouldn't make sense. For the way Rabbi Yochanan presented this, implied that he essentially did endorse this position. He just reported that this is how people conduct themselves without further comment. He didn't add, and this is wrong, and I protested, I told them to stop conducting themselves this way. No, he implies that it's okay to rule this way. So Reish Lakish rightfully asks, how could you say that when this is against the majority opinion? But Rabbi Abba HaKohen persists in his attempt to offer a defense. Rabbi Yochanan could have said for himself from Reish Lakish, V'leimile, why couldn't he have responded, Ki amina lach ana maisa charuven derabanan, V'yatam ali shvias deraisa? Why couldn't he have made a distinction that he, Rabbi Yochanan, was referring to the way people conducted themselves with how to tithe the caribs, where the tithing obligation is altogether only rabbinic, as opposed to the subject of this Mishnah Shvias, which is a discussion not of the mitzvah to tithe, but of the restrictions of the Shemitah year. And those, of course, are biblical, even when it comes to fruit. And so Rabbi Abba HaKohen feels that this would have been a perfectly reasonable distinction to make for why, okay, when it comes to a rabbinic requirement of tithing, it's not a problem for the people to rely on the opinion of Rabbi Nechemiah. And go by when the fruit is picked. And so, and this leads Rabbi Abba HaKohen to wonder, Ela Omer Rabbi Abba HaKohen to Meini Yemeshiva Reish Lakish L'Tshuvazu. I doubt that Reish Lakish even asked this question to Rabbi Yochanan. But the Gemara objects, Yemeshiva, how could Rabbi Abba HaKohen have any doubt about that? Ha'osva, Reish Lakish is on record having asked that question to Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara clarifies, Ella Ima im Kibla Rabbi Yochanan im lo Kibla. Rabbi Cohen questioned how we are to interpret Rabbi Yochanan's silence. Of course, the more obvious explanation would be that he didn't have an answer. Rabbi Yehuda Cohen says maybe that's not what Rabbi Yochanan was silent. Maybe he was silent because he didn't even feel that the answer was worthy of a response because there's such an obvious distinction, the one we just mentioned.
You've been listening to RealClearDaf.com. Visit us online for resources or to dedicate a shiur. To speak with Rabbi Wise, call 855-ASK-RCD-1. That's 855-275-7231.